Inside this room, all of my dreams become realities, and some of my realities become dreams.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
It's alive!
You are listening to The Wilder Ride, getting wilder by the minute. Here are your hosts, Alan Sanders and Walt Murray.
Well, hey, everyone over there in Movie Rob listening land. Yes, I'm Alan Sanders. I'm the one who came up with the topic for this month. And I told Rob I would do a mini podcast. I would brand it as a sort of off-brand of our cultural fun movie conversation talk podcast called The Wilder Ride. Normally, I have a buddy with me, Walt Murray, but this is my project. Movie Rob asked me to help. I've been on a couple of his shows, breaking down some of the movies a minute at a time. And so he invited me to be part of this, and I decided, well, I should be able to handle this solo. I'm a talk radio person by trade. Normally, I deal with news and current events, but I also love talking movies and culture, as Movie Rob really knows. So, the subject was 21st century fantasy, the best, in my mind, the best examples of fantasy films released in the 21st century. Now, I'm going to be very biased because there are only a handful of movies that I feel like are even worthy of being on this. It didn't include series, so Game of Thrones was left out, and shows that are streaming, things like that. These are films that you would have seen in the movie theater. Now, the podcast I do with my buddy Walt, The Wilder Ride, we started off doing movies by minutes. We spent our first season breaking down Young Frankenstein 1 minute at a time, 1 minute of the movie at a time. And then the season two, we went into Blazing Saddles. We were starting Silver Streak when the pandemic hit, and we decided we were going to have to change things because we had a studio we were going to, and we weren't allowed to meet in person for a while. So we ended up changing our format and changed it to a weekly talk show where we would spend about an hour interviewing somebody we thought would be an interesting guest, and then had some fun with some other topics. Season 4 kind of felt the same way. We did the same thing. Between seasons 4 and season 5, my buddy Walt got a divorce, ended up finding a new bride-to-be, got married, and has been in the honeymoon suite ever since. So our format has changed once again in season 5, where we are doing more of a monthly kind of format, where we break down a topic with various lists. One of the things we love doing is breaking a topic down into lists. And so I think that's why Movie Rob decided to ask me to participate in this, and I told him I would do it via podcast form. So my top 5 fantasy films that came out in the 21st century. I'm going to cheat a little bit, and you're going to see what I mean here in just a bit. But not for the first two entries. My first entry, which is number 5, I'm going to count backwards. I know Peter Jackson returned to the world of Middle-earth to direct the Hobbit trilogy. Now, I appreciate what he was trying to do, bringing in other elements from other parts of Tolkien's work, but it wasn't as compelling. I didn't enjoy so many CG characters. I really preferred the practical effects of Lord of the Rings, so I felt it was a distant second to Lord of the Rings. But of the trilogy, just for the sake of story, character, music, the moments that just kind of grab you, a couple of the more emotional moments, I have to go with The Hobbit. My number 5, Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
My dear Frodo, you asked me once if I had told you everything there was to know about my adventures. Well, I can honestly say I have told you the truth. I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins.
Wait!
Of Bagend.
Bilbo, allow me to introduce Fili, Kili, Oin, Loin, Dorlin, Barlin, Biffa, Bofa, Bomba. Dory, Nori, Ori, and the leader of our company, Thorin Oakenshield.
The misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old,
Two to tell when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
My name is Bilbo Baggins.
Bagginses. What is a Bagginses? Precious.
I mean, what else is there? If you're going to go on an adventure, you might as well pick the first of the trilogy. The other two movies are okay. There are moments when I like Smaug, but I don't think that they're nearly as good as the first installation of the trilogy. I feel like the third one was forced, and so a lot of it, I feel, just doesn't hold up. Now, I will tell you, review-wise, it's in my top five because I do enjoy it. I just think of my top five, it's the weakest of them, and so it comes in last place. There are a lot of other movies that have come out. Obviously, they didn't make my top five if you don't hear them before we get to the end of the episode. So, what I did think about The Hobbit that I really like, and I will go to it and rewatch it more than the other two, and I watched the director's cut because I do think that just like with Lord of the Rings, the director's cut adds a lot more texture and flavor and is the superior version of the movies. But for me, The Hobbit just reminded me of when I was a kid first seeing the cartoon by Rankin Bass. I thought it was such a fun story when I was a kid, and I always was freaked out by Gollum and the riddles that they played, and didn't really know that Gandalf was going to be such a compelling character later. It was always for me about Bilbo and an interesting story, and remembering how he was drawn to be so portly and just rotund, and yet somehow became the hero of the story. So I enjoyed it. Peter Jackson's The Hobbit. Number four. As a offshoot of Harry Potter, the Fantastic Beasts series has been interesting, I'll say. Really enjoyed Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The next iteration was okay. The third one, not so good. Makes me fear that there's some magic being lost. I don't know where it's falling apart. It just felt like the third installation was a lot of stuff on the screen, and I've watched it three times, and I don't know if I could tell you what it's even about. It just feels like a bunch of images and scenes loosely connected with no real emotional impact. I mean, the worst I felt in the third installation was when they killed the little fawn. But for me, number four goes to the first attempt to branch off of the Harry Potter world, and I really do enjoy Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
You've known for 24 hours that an unregistered wizard set magical beasts loose in New York.
Yes.
Where is this man?
So, you're the guy with the case full of monsters, huh?
News travels fast.
Mr. Scamander, do you know anything about the wizarding community in America? We don't let things loose.
Hey, Mr. English guy, I think your egg is hatching.
You wiped his memory, right? The no magic.
The what?
No magic. The non-wizard.
Sorry, we call them muggles.
I don't think I'm dreaming.
What gave it away?
I ain't got the brains to make this up.
Something is stalking our city. Wreaking destruction, and then disappearing without a trace.
witches live among us.
We've lived in the shadows for too long.
I ask all of you, who does this protect? Us or them?
Danger. He senses danger.
This is related to Grindelwald's attacks in Europe. This could mean war.
We got a plan, right, guys?
They need our help.
Was that everything that came out of the case?
I won't let another one die.
I refuse to bow down any longer. Time is running out, Mr. Scamander.
I think the music is fantastic. I think the acting is brilliant. I love the storyline. I think when it comes around and you get the twist ending, it just feels like a satisfying story that does set up for a sequel. I know J.K. Rowling was talking about doing a 5-part story, and depending on how things go after the sort of abysmal performance of the 3rd film in this series, we'll see if there's going to be a 4th and a 5th. But for me, number 4. Best fantasy film in the 21st century goes to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. All right, now we're at my top 3. This is where I'm going to cheat just a little bit. Because there are certain things that me and my girls, my wife, I have, by the way, I'll segue and say I've got 4 daughters and a wife. And all of these movies they've seen, all of them we've introduced them. If there's a book behind the series, they've probably, all of us have read the book or books multiple times. So a lot of these that I'm going to get to, I'm going to explain why it's a bit of a cheat that my top 5 may have a handful more of movies than just 5. And I thought to myself, Rob didn't give me really any rules. He just said, go with it. So I'm going with it. For us, we like movie marathons. When we find a franchise, a series, whether it's Star Wars, Star Trek, whether it's The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Harry Potter, we like watching all of them. We like scheduling marathons. It's something that we've done as a family. And so for me, number 3 in the world of fantasy, and I'll argue with anybody who says it's not, is the Pirates of the Caribbean original trilogy. Now, I've gone ahead and broken down the 3 movies in my favorite order based on which I think are the stronger, most compelling films. But as a series, the first 3 films work so well together as one storyline.
I think it'd be rather exciting to meet a pirate.
Think again, Miss Swan. This promotion throws into sharp relief that which I have not yet achieved.
Elizabeth?
Do you really intend to kill my rescuer?
I believe thanks are in order.
Well, well. Jack Sparrow, isn't it?
What's your name?
Will Turner.
That would be short for William, I imagine.
They've taken Elizabeth.
Hello, Poppy.
If you spring me from this cell, I swear on pain of death, I shall take you to the Black Pearl and your bonny lass. Agreed.
You'll never make it out of the bay.
Son, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy?
Welcome to the Caribbean, lad.
You're off the edge of the map, mate. Hail, every monster.
He's a pirate.
And a good man.
The charge is conspiring to set free a man convicted of crimes against the crown and empire and condemned to death.
Perhaps you remember a certain pirate named Jack Sparrow.
Captain!
You look good, Jack.
We wish for you to act as our agent in a business transaction with our mutual friend, Captain Sparrow.
How much do you know about Davy Jones?
Jack Sparrow said he's dead.
Did they know?
There will come a moment when you have a chance to do the right thing.
I love those moments. I like to wave at them as they pass by.
Open the taster of the key and stab the heart.
Have you not introduced yourself
all these years as Captain Jack Sparrow?
This is a jar of dirt.
If you don't want it, give it back.
It's after you, not the ship.
To Jack Sparrow.
Never another like Captain Jack.
He was a good man.
All persons found guilty of piracy shall be sentenced to hang by the neck until dead.
The Dutchman sails as its captain commands.
And its captain is to sail it as commanded.
What is it you seek in Davy Jones' locker?
Jack Sparrow.
It's not getting into the land of the dead that's the problem. It's getting back. Hunt us down, one by one, to the men on left. But you...
Quite like the sound of that. Captain Jack Sparrow, last pirate.
Sparrow?
Summoning the brethren court, then.
All that remains is for them to decide where they make their final stand.
Part of the crew...
Lady Bird!
You're mad.
Thank goodness for that, because if I wasn't, this would probably never work.
She pretended to love me.
No cause is lost if there was but one fool left to fight for it.
What shall we die for?
I have only ever embraced that oldest and noblest of pirate traditions. We must fight! Run away.
One day ashore, 10 years at sea. It's a steep price for us, but no.
Depends on the one day.
The constant double-crossing, the constant back and forth, the fact that they play each other over and over and over again. The world expands, but it does it in a way that makes you think that you're part of one universe. It feels like it was wholly thought out and fleshed out, even though nobody knew the success of the first movie was going to lead to a series or a franchise. But for me, in terms of fantasy, and I like pirates, and I know pirates lived in the real world, but let's face it. Undead pirates, the undead world, opposite worlds, parallel universes, the undead. I mean, there are some fantastical elements. So whether you like my choice or not, for me, as a, quote, fantasy movie that actually is entertaining, fun, well-written, well-acted, brilliant music, fantastic choreography, love the sword fights, I have to go with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, I know I said there's three movies in my mind in the trilogy. So how do I rank them? You have to watch the first one first. And for me, the first one is still the best of the three films. So Curse of the Black Pearl is my number, I guess, 3A as we're counting backwards. 3B, At World's End. The trilogy closes so well. It just finishes off all the extra storylines. It has some fantastic visual effects. All of the action and set pieces seem to outpace even the previous two movies. It just feels like it was a perfect capstone to the trilogy. So in terms of the films individually, I believe At World's End is next in that line. So that's my 3B. And then 3C naturally would be Dead Man's Chest, which, by the way, I don't have a problem ranking it third. It is Act Two, if you think of the three movies as a three-act play, really long. And by the way, if you've never done a Pirates of the Caribbean marathon, watching them back to back to back like that feels like Act One, Act Two, Act Three. Feels like it's one big, long movie. Lots of moving parts with the principals just constantly moving around in and around that world. Love it. So for me, the third in my list as I'm counting down to number one, The Pirates of the Caribbean original trilogy, Curse of the Black Pearl, At World's End, then Dead Man's Chest. Now we're going to get to a little bit of a longer one. Told you we like marathons. One of the marathons we do annually, usually around the holidays because the kids all still come back to our house during the Christmas season. We love the Harry Potter universe. We started off with the books. Didn't know that they were going to make movies. We just started off with the books. Found out they were going to make movies and fell in love with the first iteration directed by Christopher Columbus. Mirrored the book so well that you almost feel like the book came to life. And honestly, the second movie, the Chamber of Secrets, also directed by Christopher Columbus, was pretty much right dead on with the book. Obviously, the books got longer and more complex, more subplots, more storylines, more characters. And even though the movies are all fantastic and pretty long, all of them trying to do as much as they can in the period that they have, they all started to leave things out. So the books are something we all cherish. And every time a new book came out, every one of us in the house would go back to the first book and reread every single Harry Potter story to be ready for when the latest edition came out. When my kids were a little bit older, when The Half-Blood Prince came out, they were all old enough to be able to stay up late to where we went to a box store at midnight to be able to line up with hundreds and hundreds of other Harry Potter fans and get The Half-Blood Prince right out of the cardboard boxes as the store was opening early to be able to allow us to buy it at 12:01 a.m., which would have been the Friday it was allowed to be sold. For us, that was incredible. We did that with the movie, too. It was the only time we ever went to a Thursday midnight showing, which was technically Friday, 12:01, but we went to go see The Half-Blood Prince in the movie theater as a midnight showing, and the kids will never forget what it was like to be there with people dressed up, with the atmosphere, the ambiance, seeing it first, and then us allowing them to stay home from school, knowing that, well, this wasn't going to be something we do all the time. In fact, it was the only time in their lifetime we did something quite like that. But they really enjoy the Harry Potter world. My wife and I are huge Harry Potter fans. I'll brag on us for just a bit. We love doing trivia nights at various locales. A lot of them are microbrews or wineries. And we have pretty much kicked most people's butts. The most impressive being one night we went to a microbrew where there were 82 Harry Potter teams and we took first place. In fact, until recently, we've always taken first place, except once where we came in second. And we argued. So let's go. My number two is the Harry Potter world.
Not all wizards are good. A few years ago, there was one wizard that went as bad as you can go.
Harry, be safe. Be strong.
Killed my parents, didn't he?
Killed my parents.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
Then.
Did I know? I just met the most dangerous dark wizard of all time.
Once, there was a young man.
I can speak to snakes, too.
No.
name?
Whisper things.
Tom Riddle. Or Mordor! In the end, their greatest weapon.
Voldemort's raising an army, then I want to fight.
It's you.
The prophecy said neither one can live while the other one survives. It means one of us is going to have to kill the other in the end.
We can expect great things from you.
Yes.
Only I can live forever.
Can you only spit the song once? Instance
seven. Seven?
There is no good and evil.
A Horcrux.
There is only power. Those too weak to seek it. You're a fool, Harry Potter. And you will lose everything.
Find out where he is, and we can end this.
Each Horcrux.
One destroys for them.
Now, you think to yourself, well, there's eight movies. Well, technically, there's seven stories, but the last one they broke in two. So I decided to break the movies down in my favorite order. So for me, this is my number one through number eight. If I had to rank them in which order I'd watch first versus which I'd watch last, and now we do the marathons in order, so don't get me wrong. When we do a Harry Potter marathon, we go through all the films. But in terms of me critiquing the quality of the storyline, the quality of the acting, the set pieces, the directing, for me, the best of all the Harry Potter movies, my favorite, the one I go to most, The Prisoner of Azkaban. Yes, it's the third story. It's my favorite book. It's also my favorite film. The time travel element, the twist at the end, how it all comes together, to me, still the tightest storytelling, still one of the most amazing. Every time I watch it, even though I know what's going to happen, I just keep watching. And I love it. And I love the fact that I can watch a movie, know what's going to happen, and still feel surprised or feel emotionally invested as I'm watching. So Prisoner of Azkaban comes in number one in terms of the eight films. It's quickly followed by Order of the Phoenix. Order of the Phoenix was my second favorite book and still is my second favorite book because it's when J.K. Rowling decided to allow the world to include the adults to such a degree that we realized people play politics. It doesn't matter where you are. People in power want to stay in power. People who are challenging you or questioning you are often thought of as your enemy. Even when the real enemy is out there, it's easier to make an enemy of somebody who you're not scared of or who you feel like you have some power over than to try to actually call the real enemy what it is when you're afraid of it. And the idea of the Minister of Magic and all of the politics and the back and forth, the Professor Umbridge being brought in, trying to take over the school, the kids having to learn how to teach themselves, all forming their own club. To me, the Order of the Phoenix, just superb. It's followed by The Sorcerer's Stone, the original first Harry Potter. That's the third one for me, simply because you can't have the series without the first one. And so many elements that we would see expanded or built upon come from the first film. And yes, it's more of a kid's story, but everything from the Mirror of Erised to the fact that Voldemort was on the back of the skull of one of the professors, and you had all of these things that you could see when you go back and watch, and you go, oh, I thought it was Snape who was the bad guy, and I thought this, and I thought just really good, always fun to watch, and it is the beginning of the series anyway, so for me, it's the third. The next two kind of go back to back, but I put them in reverse order. Because you gotta watch Deathly Hallows Part 1 because it sets everything up. But in terms of the two films that wrap up the series, for me, Deathly Hallows Part 2 is a much better, much more fun, and of course, it brings to a conclusion the Harry Potter storyline. So I just reverse them. I put Deathly Hallows Part 2 followed by Deathly Hallows Part 1. So that's 4 and 5. Number 6, I go with The Half-Blood Prince. I enjoy The Half-Blood Prince, but the more I've seen it, the more I feel like it drags, the more I feel like, okay, come on. I know we're going back and forth. I know if you watch it in order from 1 to 6, you need a different kind of storytelling. You need something just to shake things up a bit. It just, after rewatching, you feel like, okay, come on, get moving. So although I enjoy it, I feel as if it's not as strong as the ones that came before it. Number 7 is The Chamber of Secrets. In many ways, The Chamber of Secrets is just a little bit longer, but basically a retelling of the first movie, of the first book. And there's not a lot of difference. I mean, there is some things. Obviously, we find out that there's a diary, and there's some interesting things with this diary holding the spirit of the presence of Voldemort, and that's how he's trying to come back. And that, in and of itself, was very interesting. But in terms of anything really different or new, it felt like the same plot, the same kind of structure. I know all the books are similar in that sense, but it's our least favorite when we rewatch the series. Sometimes when we've done a marathon, we've said, let's just go from 1 to 3. But my least favorite, it was my least favorite book, and it's my least favorite film, is The Goblet of Fire. I just feel you've got this massive Triwizard tournament that you've put out there. You're bringing in these wizarding schools, and there's only 2 schools besides Hogwarts that are invited. You'd think that in the world there'd be more, but okay, let's go with just only 3 show up. I get it's the Triwizard tournament, 3 schools, but it just feels like, why did they only have, you know, 3 tests? It just, everything felt like they dragged it out. It felt like there should be more puzzles. There should be more problem solving. It felt like there was, in the calendar, a school, when you think about a school year, a calendar year, you know, from the fall through the, you know, late spring, you only have 3 events. I mean, what's everybody really doing? I know the ball is part of it. I know they're talking to the students. It just, and when you start playing it through in your head and start realizing, okay, there's just action pieces 1, 2, and 3, and then there's just a bunch of stuff in between. Now, Mad-Eye Moody, fantastic. Love the actor, love the performance. Everything about it was just wonderful. But in terms of just overall structure, directing, storytelling, it just feels the weakest of all of the Harry Potter movies to me. But as a franchise, we watch it every year, just about all the films, usually all of them. So there you have it. Which brings me to my number 1. Anybody who knows me knows this was a no-brainer. Because for me, it is one movie. It's broken into 3 parts because the book was one book that at the time the publisher said, nobody's going to want to read a book this long. We're going to have to break it up. And so it was put out in 3 installments. But J.R.R. Tolkien always intended for The Lord of the Rings to be one story. And for me, the pinnacle example of fantasy in the 21st century that is yet to be touched by anything out there is The Lord of the Rings.
The world is changed. Much that once was is lost. For none now live who remember it. History became legend. Legend became myth. And some things that should not have been forgotten were lost.
It has now been found. Is it secret? Is it safe?
This is the One Ring, forged by the Dark Lord Sauron. Sauron needs only this ring to cover all the lands of a second darkness. He's seeking it. Seeking it all. His thought is bent on it.
No one knows it's here, do they? Do they, Gandalf?
Little Earth stands upon the brink of destruction.
The weapon of the enemy is a gift. Let us use it against him.
You cannot wield it.
None of us can.
The ring must be destroyed.
It was made in the fires of Mount Doom. Only there can it be unmade.
What orders from Mordor, my lord? What does the Eye command?
We have work to do. They are coming.
One does not simply walk into Mordor. Its black gates are guarded by more than just orcs. There is evil there that does not sleep. The Great Eye is ever watchful.
I do.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my axe.
Carry the face of us all, little one.
We're coming too!
Mr. Frodo's not going anywhere without me.
You will face the evil, and you will defeat it.
Such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Peter Jackson's amazing, brilliant, so well constructed, so well edited, so well filmed, the scores, the acting, the performances, the CG innovations, the practical effects. Howard Shore's score is just out of this world. There is no better example of fantasy. First of all, J.R.R. Tolkien set the standard by which all modern fantasy has followed. So everything feels similar to Tolkien. And I know a lot of younger people, they'll read Harry Potter first, or they may read C.S. Lewis, which, by the way, was a contemporary, or Game of Thrones, or whatever. And you have to thank the godfather of fantasy, Tolkien. He set the standard. Everybody else just happened to fall in line saying, you know what, why reinvent the wheel? We'll just borrow those same motifs, those same creatures, those same atmospheres, and we'll just run with it. For me, The Lord of the Rings, the director's cut is the only way to watch those films. And just like with Harry Potter and with the Pirates of the Caribbean, we watch these always as a marathon, always once, at least once a year, sometimes more. If I'm going to rank the films it actually is in reverse order, which makes sense because if it's one long movie, each one builds to the final conclusion where everything is resolved and everything is satisfying. But in terms of if I had to rank them as three individual films, Return of the King is the strongest of the three films, followed by The Two Towers, followed by The Fellowship of the Ring. But as I said, in my mind, it's one movie. So as one film, it's told in three acts. The Fellowship establishes the characters, the storyline, the plot. The second act gives us a major crisis. We realize that there is a lot happening. The world of men is hanging on a balance, just like the Fellowship was in the first one. And it's come down to, can Sauron recover at the end of the Dark Tower? Everything has hit the pinnacle and is now crashing toward the finale. And you cannot get a better wrap-up and a better emotional impact to a film than what happens in Return of the King. Every storyline is satisfied, everything wraps up, and if there aren't at least half a dozen moments that you don't get teary-eyed, I don't know what's wrong with you. I've seen these films so often since they came out, and they get to me every single time. I feel as though when I get done with the Lord of the Rings marathon, I've been on that voyage with those characters. I feel like I've been through it with them. I feel as though 15 or 16 months, which is, I believe, the timeline within the story of that Tolkien wrote, has taken place. And I will often have dreams where I'm in the movie or I'm in that adventure with them after watching the marathon, because those images, those characters, the sound, that world is so believable, so textured, so rich. It feels as if I've been there. And so when I fall asleep after watching the marathon, I tend to feel like I've been there for so long, my brain just conjures those images. So to recap, and Movie Rob, I hope you enjoyed this, but to recap, for me, The Hobbit by itself, although I know it's a trilogy, not nearly as strong as The Lord of the Rings, so I guess it becomes the bookend. It's my number five. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, by itself, fantastic film, number four. The Pirates of the Caribbean, to me, it's one movie told in three parts. There you have it, one, two, three. We talked about Harry Potter. For us, it's one world. I know they all go together, but they're all individual films. If you forced me to only pick one Harry Potter film, it would be The Prisoner of Azkaban. And number one, without a doubt, nothing's come close, nothing touches it, The Lord of the Rings. Now, I will leave you on this. I'm very excited to see what Amazon's going to be doing with the Rings of Power series. I know there are so many websites out there and so many digital magazines and so many fanzines and nerd zines and everything else out there, and everyone wants to have clickbait and everybody wants to feel like they've got some kind of an edge to a story that the competition doesn't have. So I don't know. Some of the things I heard initially concerned me. Some of the things I felt got resolved. I don't know what the final product's going to be, but I will watch every single second. I am a Tolkien fan. I am so into this world, into this universe, this Middle Earth, and I'm totally fine going back into the Second Age and learning a whole lot more of the lore, the history, the foundations of Middle Earth, and I just hope it holds up. It's got to be better than The Hobbit. I don't know if it's going to be able to capture or touch The Lord of the Rings, but hey, it's Tolkien. I'm all in. Rob, I'm not sure if this is what you wanted, but I gave it my best. This has been a look at my view of what I think are the top five fantasy offerings of the 21st century. If you haven't watched any of these films, or if you're not familiar with them, do yourself a favor and book some time on your calendar to try to watch at least some of the films in each of the series. But as a whole, if you've never seen The Lord of the Rings, what's wrong with you? If you're not a Harry Potter fan, you think they're just kids' movies, I understand it because of where they start. I don't know that you've understood how far it evolved, and for it to hold together, especially as films, to be able to keep the actors together for eight films across 20 years, that's saying something. The Pirates, just so much fun, so good, so engaging. And Fantastic Beasts, a chance to see Harry Potter in the Harry Potter universe in a different way. The Hobbit wrapping it up. Until I'm asked to do this again, I don't know when it will be, but I hope you have enjoyed my list. Rob, thanks so much for asking me to be part of this. I hope everybody that you asked and reached out to was able to give you something for you to use for the month. Folks, if you're brand new to me, you can find my cultural fun podcast where we talk movies and things at The Wilder Ride. You can find it at thewilderride.com. You can Google The Wilder Ride or any podcatcher out there. It's The Wilder Ride. For you folks who like talking news or politics, which is what I do for a day job, you can find The Alan Sanders Show out there at your podcatcher of choice. And you can find me on social media just by searching for The Alan Sanders Show. Movie Rob, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This has been fun. I hope you all get a chance to watch these films, debate them, talk about them, and I just appreciate being a small part of the overall conversation. Take care.